All right. Welcome in to the Toilets to Titles podcast, episode number 62. I'm your host, John Sheps. You can find me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. And this week, we got a gang of guests, a gang of Toilets to Titles guests. I'm going to introduce them one at a time. And the last one's kind of a special introduction because it's the newest member to the team. But first, let me start off with Mike D at Dirty Jobs 21 on the Twitter. Mike, what's cooking, man?
What is happening, man? How are we doing this weekend? I'm really happy. I'm glad to be here. It's Saturday, kickoff to the weekend. Got some good coffee going.
Hell yeah, man. You got to start the day off like early with a nice cup of coffee. I'm up like, so I've had a great week. We had a with football practice, we've been doing morning practice before school. So I've been trying to get my exercise in the morning. I've been waking up at 5, which is early for me. And like, it took me about 4 weeks to get used to that, you know, to get comfortable with waking up that early. And then Thursday was the last morning practice. So now I'm waking up at 5 a.m. every day. And now I need to change it again. But I just lay in bed and then wait till I have coffee. That's what I have to look forward to in the morning. But how was your week? How you feeling?
So far, so good. You know, this was a kind of a messed up week. I had to work a whole awful lot, but it ended good. So we'll just take it. We'll take those little wins when we can.
Hell yeah, man. And it's June. So that means the season is really close. Training camp is really close. All right, let me bring in the next member of Toilets to Title, the Frito Bandito himself, Rich Gonzalez at R Gonzalez RM on the Twitter. Rich, how we doing, my guy?
I am doing beautiful. Went on vacation last week, California. Came back to work, and that first week back to work after vacation is always horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start out by saying, giving a little quick joke. What did the nacho farmer say to the other nacho farmer?
What did he say?
Cool ranch.
He said what?
He said cool ranch.
Cool ranch. I get it, man. But hey, I do want to let the listeners know that, like, you know, behind the scenes stuff, the Toilets to Titles calendar that we're going to be doing next year. Rich, he took some shots, man. We might have to share those with the listeners. Rich Gonzalez in his bathing suit, lounging on top of his float. What month did you get for our calendar?
January.
January, man. You got to start the year off right with Rich.
That's the perfect pose for it.
Posing for it, man. So you're the poster boy. All right. So now the final guest, you'll know him from the New York Giants episode, the team breakdown. If you don't know that episode, they're only on our YouTube channel. Justin has been killing it. Who's not here this week. He's been doing team by team breakdowns, been getting great guests. Joe here, Joseph Clark at @JoeJ_Clark was one of the guests for the New York Giants episode. He's also my cousin. We're also family. And he's also now the newest member of Toilets to Titles. He's going to be helping us video editing. He's going to be talking NFL, some fantasy football. So all good stuff. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great. And you know what? Thanks for having me on, guys. I had such a great time the other day. It was a great time doing that episode with the other guests and with Nick Snacks and Steffi Smalls. And of course, Justin. It was awesome. I was so excited when I was invited to be on a few months ago. I'm like, heck yeah, that was totally at my wheelhouse. So it was awesome. But, you know, I realized I really got to like earn my way here. I really didn't do that. I'm here because of nepotism that Coach Sheps is my cousin. That's really why I'm here. But I plan on earning my way onto this great show. So, but I'm really happy to be here.
Man, you're being modest. You know how you earn your way. You've been like a lot of the guys who joined. And then when I say a lot, that makes it seems like there's like 30 guys on the team, and there's not. There's less than 10. All the guys who are part of Toilets to Titles have all been friends with the show since day one, have all been in the chat during the episodes since day one, man. And for like the last 5 or 6 months, like every single episode you've been there, we've been talking to you during the episode as if you've been on the episode with all your comments and stuff. So it was just fitting. It's fitting. And now instead of just seeing the little blurbs and having to pop them up on the screen, you can actually just say what you think.
And we can in my little Daniel Jones avatar, bright blue.
Yeah, man.
If you close your eyes, hopefully, it seems like 30, just so you know, or go by Twitter notifications. It'll feel like 30 people.
And hopefully I'll be keeping that Daniel Jones avatar for the next 15 years or so. We'll see after this year.
I don't know, man. There's another Manning coming up through the ranks here.
I saw some video on him recently. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so impressive. So he's a good consolation prize if you guys stay.
We're going to see. This is going to be a make or break year for us.
You know what you're not stinking at, though? Your episode, Rich, the Raiders seasonal breakdown was the leader in the clubhouse with like 70 views or something like that. And the Giants episode just got recorded and already has the most views out of all the team-by-team breakdowns. So if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm just saying, we got about 54. It was me, Kyle Yeomans, and a coach, Dan. Go check that video out and just let it run over and over and over in the background so we could pass these guys. Rich, you got anything to say about your Raiders breakdown?
And that was 85 views. I got another view yesterday. So I'm going to make sure we pass the Giants episode.
All right, Mike, did Justin do Denver yet?
He did, yeah. I actually was supposed to be on that show, and I couldn't make it. I actually fell asleep for the first time in like a month, I swear. And I told everybody, wake me up. Well, everybody felt bad. They're like, oh, he hasn't slept in forever. Let's let him sleep. And I wake up at like 10 o'clock. So I missed it. I missed it with Fallon and them. But, yeah, I missed the Broncos one. But I'm a big-time Broncos fan. I'm excited for this season, kind of. I'll be excited when they get Aaron Rodgers.
You're the number one fan.
The number one fan. Yeah, they, like I said, dude. Yep.
There you go.
You don't just get this. They don't just give these to anybody. You can't just go buy this. They actually send this to you and say, you won this, Michael. I'm like, okay, cool.
It's official.
That bit will never get old to me. Every time we record together, we just got to throw that out because I just love that. That's the number one fan. Right. Do you believe, I know there's a lot of stuff I need to do with the formalities and stuff, but just speaking about the Broncos, do you believe the Watson buzz, or do you think the Watson to Denver buzz is more so just to make Denver, you know, just to make Green Bay feel like there's a little bit of competition there and feel like maybe they have to get Rodgers over there? Do you think Watson could really end up there?
You know what? Unfortunately for me, the way I see it all laying out is I see Drew Lock as the starting quarterback for Denver this year. I don't think we see Watson make a move, and I don't think we see Aaron Rodgers make a move. Now, whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays football, whether or not Deshaun Watson plays football, those are both up in the air. I know they're both really dissatisfied with their situations right now and everything, but I just don't see Denver having what they need to get the job done, get the deal done. Although, if anybody can do it, it is John Elway. He is pretty good about that. That's how they got Peyton Manning. To get anybody to want to move to the Midwest, especially in Denver where it's cold, you know, six games a year, that's salesmanship right there. So it'd be nice, but I really don't foresee any changes there at quarterback. I think Drew Lock will be our guy, and I think that you'll really start seeing the demise of Drew Lock this year. The guy just can't keep up with defensive coordinators. He doesn't have the brain, the IQ, the intelligence to go up to a line and say, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And unless you have that talent, that skill, same reason that Derek Carr sucks. You know, I mean, that guy just has zero football IQ. And I mean, I love Derek Carr. The guy's great for fantasy, but he would be so much better if he could just play a game besides a scripted game. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's why we're both going to be looking at the Chiefs for the next few years, because they can really put it together.
Chargers, man, the Chargers, you can't I think they might ascend, but I think you want to sell. You know, I know you can't necessarily sell it this to the GMs of the Packers or the Broncos, but if you want to sell it to another quarterback, you just show them Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Javonte Williams, because man, that is something beautiful to be a part of. And I think Locke is going to have some big games during the regular season.
KJ Hamler's a badass. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got just receivers on receivers, but yeah, they don't have anybody to throw them to. Right. It's the same like Oakland, like those guys, or I guess Las Vegas now. Those guys, if you could just get somebody to get out there and be able to throw, they'd be unstoppable. Like, look at what Waller can do, man. And now they've got a lot of speed on the outside, but you just watch, they're not going to be able to do anything with it because Derek Carr, he's the one thing that's held the Raiders back for 5 years now, and he will continue to do so.
Man, how did this turn around to just bash Derek Carr, man?
Because to me, him and Drew Lock are almost the same exact quarterback. Oh, man. And it has nothing to do with division or anything like that. It's just both have the same good opportunity and both can't do anything with that opportunity.
Right. You're going to have a Carr versus Lock bathroom board bet here?
I think so. I think we're going to have to and everything. So we'll talk afterwards.
Who does worse?
Yeah. All right. Well, I do want to let everybody know we got to move it on a little bit. So how you can listen to the show, however you're listening, here's the other ways. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're on Podbean. You can find us, our video on Facebook. We have a page, it's a titles page. We also have a page called When a Family Breaks, where we buy, sell, trade sports memorabilia. And we are also on Spotify. All right, all those links will be in the show note. We would really appreciate it if you do go onto our YouTube, or even if you're not there currently, if you could just go check it out, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, all that stuff, you know, that really helps us out. We just passed 200 subscribers. We're at 202 subscribers now. So that's kind of a big deal. Our heads are getting a little big. They're getting a little swollen. We're floating around over here. But also on Apple Podcasts, if you could, if you have that, throw us a 5-star review. Again, that really helps us. If you could subscribe, throw us a 5-star review. If you want to get into Frankenstank, okay, Frankenstank, I believe. So that's our listener league. We have an episode on it on YouTube. I want to say like episode 47. I don't know. I'll share that in the show notes as well. But that's our big time listener league. It's like a vampire style league. There's going to be, I want to say, 36 teams in it. Already 18 teams are filled. All right. And half of it is going to be analysts, friends of the show. And the other half is going to be listeners. If you want to get into that league, which I think you should, it's going to be a lot of fun. Throw us a 5-star review. Take a picture of it. DM it to us. All right. DM it to us on Twitter at Toilets of Titles. That'll get you in. All right. And another way to get in, we now have a Patreon, everybody. Patreon.com/Toilets2Titles. Here are the tiers. $3 per month is tier one. Gets you in the T2T team group chat. Right now we're on WhatsApp, but that might be changing. So you could be talking with the team in there and the other Patreon members. Tier two is $5 per month. It's early access to waiver wire episodes in season. It gets you entry into our Frankenstank League, and it also gets you into the T2T team group chat. And then finally, tier three, which is $10 per month. You get one-on-one roster analysis from anybody on the squad. You get free entry. So the last tier two gets you entry, which is, and then free entry, which is $25 value in tier three into our Frankenstank Listener League. Get you into the group chat. Get you early access to the waiver wire episodes. So go support us on Patreon. We would really appreciate that. We also are doing a Trey Lance mini helmet giveaway. Want to let everybody know about this. If you donate a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation, which fights human trafficking, you subscribe to our YouTube channel, and then email us a screenshot of your donation and subscription to toiletstotitles@gmail.com. That'll be get you entered. Once we get $200 worth of donations to the Tim Tebow Foundation, we'll be randomizing the winner. Again, it's Trey Lance, signed North Dakota State mini helmet. Got it somewhere behind me. It's right behind those Mickey ears right there. That's where it is. All right. That'll go to a lucky winner. So that's it for the formalities, everybody. So let's talk some football. Are you guys ready to discuss some things?
Let's do it.
Wait. 1 second. Because I'm going to probably not talk that much this episode anyway, because I am a newbie and I want to let the, you know, watch the experts do it. But I just want to hit on the Broncos real quick, because I do find that situation really interesting. That, you know, the thing with Locke, too, is remember with Locke, is that he was a rookie 2 years ago. They really didn't start him until, like, you know, later on in the season. And I don't really follow him all that much, but I remember he had some bright spots there. And the last year, you know, things got messed up for every team, but especially I would think young quarterbacks with COVID, no training camp. And I think Pat Shurmur was the new OC at that time. So he was going through a new OC. There's a lot there. I'm not necessarily convinced that Denver, I mean, they probably will. They could make a trade for like a Rodgers. I don't think it would be Watson. And Elway has shown, obviously, in the past that he'll make a move for a proven veteran quarterback like we did with Peyton Manning. But, you know, they did have a chance. The Broncos did have a chance to get Justin Fields at, I think, what, they picked number 9, I believe it was. And they passed on that, too. I mean, it could just be that they really didn't value Justin Fields. But I did find that to be interesting when they wound up taking, I believe it was Patrick Surtain. So they might be looking to ride it out with Locke for another year.
Man, I was so happy when they took Surtain. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, I know. You want to Parsons. I hear you. We had talked about Parsons, too, like, you know, before the draft and how we both liked him. So I thought that was a perfect pickup for the Cowboys. I really did. Really
it was good. Josh Allen all over again for me, man. I was like, oh, God, we had Josh Allen in the 5th round, too. I mean, that was a drop in the bucket. And they just, oh, no, we're good. We're going to – I can't even remember who they grabbed, but it wasn't him. And they just did it again.
Yeah. And now the Bears get him. The Bears have been in quarterback purgatory for quite some time. So if he helps them elevate out of that level of QB play, like, that'll be a huge deal. Bears haven't had solid quarterback play in quite some time.
That's another team that has decent weapons that actually could be decent this year. And I mean, it's not really that tough of a division to win.
David Montgomery, baby.
Yeah, big pickup right now. Grab that guy.
Montgomery is a dude. Again, if you've been listening to the show, I was heading that bus last year. Even though the world was telling me Miles Sanders, the world was saying David Montgomery's basic. That's what they were saying. I stood up on top of the soapbox. I screamed to the highest mountain, David Montgomery, and the guy produced for me. All right, he produced for me and showed the world that John Sheps knows what he's talking about. All right, forget all like the other 99 things I got wrong. The one thing, David Montgomery had my back. All right, Rich, I want to give you a chance to talk real quick on Julio Jones. Julio Jones goes to Tennessee. You did a little bathroom break, which is they're going to be on our YouTube channel, little 5-7 minute videos. Everybody's going to be doing them, but Rich is going to be leading the way on those, where they're going to be just breaking down little topics. You're going to, if you're subscribed to the channel, which you should be, you will see when they pop up, especially if you hit the little bell that alerts you when we go live. You'll know when we're going to be in the bathroom doing our bathroom break. So, Rich, your bathroom break, your first one was on Julio Jones to Tennessee. Give us a little rundown on that.
Yeah, so basically I went over a quick episode on how it benefited him coming over to the Titans and how, you know, also how it helped the Falcons out. But as far as the Titans and everything, coming over, you know, I'm sitting here thinking he's going to help A.J. Brown. He's going to help Montgomery. Obviously going to help Tannehill and everything. So if you break it down, and based off of last year's numbers, I kind of like look at, and I didn't break it down this deep, but I would like to think that just in the group in general, I give them about a 20 to 25% bump in fantasy points for the year. But you break that down between all the players, say, for example, you know, I'm looking at about another 220 fantasy. Now, one game, you know, it averages out to about 3-4 points per game and stuff like that. So you're not seeing a huge jump and everything. So some of the players are going to have bigger games. Julio's going to help A.J. Brown have some huge games. They're really going to help out Henry and everything. But I think the big, the advantage is for Tannehill. He's going to have more of those, that bump in fantasy points and everything, just having those options. I think the sleeper in it, when I broke down the video and stuff, is Hurst. Now, he had some great games last week when he stepped in and everything, and I just feel like he's someone that you need to look at in late rounds, because you will be able to get him in those later rounds around 12, 13 if you're looking at tight end.
If you play tight end premium and you have to start two tight ends, you know, in any league, and you can get first, you're late. Not saying he's going to be a world beater, but there's such a drop-off between the top tight ends and the back, like the second-level tight ends, that a guy like him, you know, might get you tight end two numbers throughout the season, which would be, you know, pretty decent. You know, I think it hurts Pitts. I do want to say that. I think if you go look at the Falcons, everyone's expecting Pitts to just step up and step right into that Julio Jones role. But those are big shoes to fill. I don't care where you were drafted. Now defenses are going to be focused on you. You're not going to have that season where you're going to kind of get to adapt, where you're going to be able to clean up for, you know, Julio, Ridley. Like, they're going to be doing the heavy lifting and you're going to be able to clean up over the middle. No, now you're going to be expected to carry your weight. That's a lot of pressure the ownership put on him. Like, you're setting this guy up. Like, he needs to deliver. Because what are fans going to be expecting? They got to replace Julio Jones jerseys. They're going to replace him with Kyle Pitts. Now you got that draft capital. Okay, now you can expect this guy to be putting up like 1,100, 1,200 yards. If he puts up like 600, 700, that's a good tight end season. But I think that's going to be disappointing with what teams are expecting from him. Mike or Joe, what are your opinions on that, or how it looks for the Falcons and Titans?
I completely agree with what you're saying there as far as putting a lot of pressure on the tight end. And, you know, tight ends aren't typically a successful position in the first place coming out rookie year and things like that. I mean, it does take – for some reason or another, it takes that position a little bit longer to develop in the NFL than it does other positions, or at least it seems that way. I think Gronkowski came out pretty hot, but there's really not too many others that I can think of that really came. I mean, TJ Hockenson, right? He came out hot as a rocket, but then he kind of faded out for the rest of the entire season after that. And then now he's looking like he's a good guy coming up and all that stuff. But to me, A.J. Brown is the biggest guy who's probably like, yeah, buddy, right now, because you get somebody like a dominant force like Julio Jones. I mean, that guy craves targets. That guy gets what he wants, and he gets in the air and he rips it out. And Tannehill's going to love that. A.J. Brown's going to not even have to really worry about any coverage. Tennessee's going to be a real deal Holyfield, like 1-2-3 punch coming out there. What we're going to see in Atlanta, I don't see any good – I like Calvin Ridley, but I feel like Calvin Ridley's a good product out of Julio Jones too. I feel like that offense is going to go pretty stagnant as a direct result of this.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, Atlanta, I like that's like a situation I have to think more about. Like, I'm not sure. Like, you know, with Pitts, you know, listen, he's a rookie. You don't really don't want to expect too much from a rookie, even though he was drafted number four overall. Phenomenal talent. And I wasn't surprised at all that he was the first weapon, receiving weapon that was taken off the board in the draft. I think he was taken ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, right? I think he was the first one, right? Yeah, first or second, but yep. Not a surprise at all. He's so phenomenal because, I mean, he is just such a phenomenal talent that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he does put up, you know, that you know, spectacular type of season like OBJ did in, say, his rookie year, you know, when he missed like six games, came back and put up like 1,200 yards or something like that. So, and the Giants weren't good at that point either. And they had a veteran. They did have a veteran quarterback who knew what he was doing. So that meant a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pitts puts up really good numbers. And I'd say also, too, what's going to help him, I mean, it cuts both ways, that he's going to have more attention on him. But he should also be getting more looks as well. You know, he should be getting there should be more balls thrown his way. So I'm not sure exactly what to think of that situation just yet. But with Tennessee, it's just, I think, win all over the place. Now, I think it was, even if Julio was, say, like just 90% of normally what he was in his prime, maybe he'll come back and even, you know, still be in his prime. I think he's definitely an upgrade over Corey Davis, you know, who moved on. I wasn't a big fan of his, to be honest with you. Decent wide receiver, but certainly not consistent. And he's definitely an upgrade. You know, they just lost a tight end. Was it Smith, I think, to New England?
Jonnu.
Jonnu. So, you know, I think there's going to be, you know, which I think, you know, hurts. And you were just talking about the tight ends and, you know, there's going to be some chances there for their, you know, for their younger tight ends. But I think, you know, Julio has such a chance to really bring the tennis, you know, to really round out that Titans offense so well, you know, between Henry and Brown and Julio. And if he's like 90% of what he normally was in his prime, I think they're, you know, it's all systems go for Tennessee.
All right, I got two questions and then we can move on. First one, Ryan Tannehill's ADP right now is quarterback 12. And I know we're going to get into QB ADP a little bit further down the
deserved
line. But quarterback 12, how high up do you think his ADP goes, like before the start of the season? So fantasy drafts, let's say by September, Ryan Tannehill, where do you think his ADP? I'm going to say he's probably going to be like Brady's 9, Hurts is 10, Burrow's 11, and Herbert's 7. I could see him, Rodgers is 8. So I could see him moving up to where Brady is. I could see him being about quarterback 9. Rich, where do you see him, higher or lower?
I actually think higher. I personally, I already had him ranked at 9 and everything. So I think at the most, maybe 7-6 around that frame. But definitely he's going to be higher. Look, this offense already had a great season last year offensive-wise. And all their players are ranked high. So to ask them to go up higher is going to be a big ask. But Jones is going to make that a possibility and everything. They're going to have their up and down. But like I said, Tannehill is the one that's going to be the most beneficial from this because he has those weapons. So like I said, for me, you said 10 and 9. I think around 6 and 7.
Mike?
I feel like he's going to be probably more on pace for 12, 11. I mean, there's a lot that this
I'm not saying scoring. I'm saying like where.
No, I am too. I can just keep on thinking of quarterbacks that I'd rather have than Tannehill in that position. The quarterback's got a lot of good, rich positions next year as far as guys you can draft. And I just feel like I can think of 11 like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers if he plays. I mean, I'd rather have both of those guys over Tannehill.
And we'll get into a little further down. We are going to get into the quarterbacks after 12. So don't give
right,
up
right,
too many names.
Right.
But
no,
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just that there's so many good quarterbacks. I mean, you still got Patrick Mahomes. You got so many dudes out there. And what's funny, like really funny about Julio Jones is there any other guy in the NFL that you can think of that can go out there and just be a decoy and still – have to draw defensive attention? I mean, how many times has Julio Jones got to do that in his career? Like 20, where he just goes on the field and runs routes. He's not even expected to catch the ball, but they still have to double cover him. That's what he does. I mean, that's what he brings to the table.
Dez did that pretty well.
I'm with Rich. I mean, I think, you know, anywhere from like probably around 9, maybe a little higher than that. I mean, I'm looking at the ADP list right now and I'm seeing Jalen Hurts at 10, and I don't understand that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's one I can see him going over.
Yeah, but, you know, he could even, you know, be ahead of Justin Herbert. I mean, Herbert looked fantastic looked absolutely phenomenal. But it's also second year. And I'm not saying Herbert's going to take some like big step back, but I think that Julio Jones helps out Tennessee that much. And ever since Tannehill has gotten to Tennessee, he's been a rock solid young quarterback. He's been, you know, just money pretty much. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, or he's been very consistent, and you can really count on that guy, you know, in fantasy or otherwise. And so I'd say he's probably going to, you know, I'd value him at say like 9, maybe. I'm kind of like with Rich.
Now, that's not where I value him. I would much rather have him over Herbert. There's a lot of quarterbacks I'd rather have Tannehill over. That's where I feel like his ADP is going to be.
Bad board.
Right.
I'll take Herbert over Tannehill now.
Oh,
right now.
Done.
I'm throwing it up.
Yeah.
Tossing on that.
I'll do Tannehill.
Yeah, buddy. And I got Joe C. on my team.
And that is not against – and that's nothing against Herbert. He looked phenomenal last year.
You got Joe C. and Mike D. Like, that's almost in double order right there in alphabet. Like, we got you. This is the team to be on.
Kind of rhymes, too. I like it.
It almost does. Right. Yes.
All right. I'm writing this down. But, all right, the next question was, before we move on, the over-under for total wins for the Titans is 9.5. Over or under, Mike?
Over.
Over.
Easily over.
Yep. 9.5?
Yeah, man.
Is that like – that's like official, or did Coach Sheps make that up?
The site I'm using?
No. I believe it. I'm just wondering where that's coming from, like 9.5.
And that's 17.
You'll put some money on it right now.
The Washington football team's at 8.5. I'm hammering over.
Yeah. What is Washington football team, 8.5?
8.5. They're winning the division. They're winning the East.
You can win that division with 6 wins. I don't really think.
I don't think it's going to be that way this year. But I have it with. I think Washington will win more than 8 games. I mean, listen. The big thing is Fitzpatrick, and I love him. He's like a swashbuckling pirate. I love the guy, but he's always been his best when he's come off the
pirate.
He is. He's the guy's a Buccaneer, and you know, he's always been his best when he comes off the bench, even for an extended period of time where he's not really expected to do much, or the team's not expected to do much, and he just balls out. But it seems like just in the past, he's on the best team he's ever been on in his career. But it seems like just going by his track record, whenever you're kind of expecting something from him, that's when he kind of, you know, poops the bed, if you will. But Washington, I think they're the most talented team in the division and the most well-balanced. We'll see what Fitzpatrick does. Yeah, I'd say they're going to win 9 games. I still think Dallas
went to the Super Bowl with a strong defense.
All right.
I think that Washington football defense is it could be like after the season's over, I think people are going to look back on it like that was an elite defense.
I still have Dallas winning the division, though, assuming Dak. Assuming I'm not hoping for that, but assuming Dak's healthy, I mean, they're going to be putting up like 40 points a game probably. So they'll be winning like 40 to 30 oftentimes, but I think they're going to be winning, they'll go like 10-6, maybe 11-5. So I still have them as long as his ankle's all good.
17 games now, though. We need to get used.
I don't like it.
How crazy. Yeah. I don't like it.
Throws me off.
All right. I think, Joe, you got to dip out, man.
Yeah, I do. Guys, it's been real. Thanks so much for having me on. I'll be on again soon, and it's been a blast. I absolutely love it. Take care, guys.
So now we got a training camp. We have some buzz. I don't know, mini camp, training camp. What's the difference in verbiage? But it's one of those things. No equipment. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Elijah Moore and Laviska Shenault. It sounds like Elijah Moore's killing it, and especially living in the New York area, reading the newspapers, they're really talking him up. And he's a guy I was really high on. John Laub as well, the Gridiron Scholar. Shout out to him. We were both, you know, going back and forth on him when we were doing our mocks. Whoever got the draft first was the guy who got Elijah Moore. And I'm loving it because I've gotten him in a lot of rookie drafts. So Moore, Shenault, do you guys got shares? Are you guys buying? Is there anybody else you've been hearing buzz about? What are your thoughts?
On Elijah Mitchell, I mean, I don't got much shares
Elijah
on him.
Elijah Moore. Mitchell's the running back in San Francisco.
I'm sorry.
I get it. Both are rookies. It's confusing. I get it.
I don't got that much shares of him. I think I got one share of him. But this is training camp and everything. And like I said, you always hear a lot of buzz coming out of training camp about the rookies and everything looking great and everything. It's one of those things I want to see what happens when live bull is coming at you and everything. And just I take more precedence in Shenault and stuff like that in training camp right now because he does have a year experience. And you kind of saw those bright spots last year and everything. and he's someone I have no share of, because when he's getting drafted, it's not even what I'm thinking at. But now, you know, I'm hearing this, and it's making me want to get shares, and I really don't have any more drafts to go get shares of them. So I'm going to have to start looking at trades on
him. Mike, what are your thoughts?
You know, I like Laviska Shenault a lot. I've always been a fan of his, even coming out of college. I think he's going to be a guy that I feel like if you can still get him right now at probably the cheapest you'll ever be able to get him.
Agreed.
As long as we see Lawrence adapt to the NFL, right? Like, I mean, he could go out there and Jamarcus Russell everybody, and that'll be worth nothing. But if he can be good. If he can be good, sorry, man. I'm not. That wasn't even intentional to attack
these
the
Broncos right and Raiders shots, Rich. You got to tell him you're back, man. It's very subtle. Mike doesn't.
Allen always accuses me of being a Bills fan, and I just would like to point that out. That I always take my Raiders shots where I can. If I could against the Chiefs, I would. If I could against the Chargers, I would. But it's only the Raiders and us right now.
So
yeah, we almost beat them twice last year. No worries.
Oh, that's. You could put me on the field with like two other dudes, and I think we could give them a run for their money as long as they can rush.
So I don't, you know, I go back and forth about buying like jerseys for players. You know, I got my Dez jersey. I got a Zeke jersey. So when Dez left, that broke my heart,
heart.
I want to, you know, broke it. That's my guy. So now I'm like, I don't want to buy jerseys no more. You know what I mean? And I'm sure guys deal with that as well. And then also, you know, being at a certain age, wearing a person's name on your back, all that being said, Shenault is a guy I would wear his jersey. All right.
Yep.
He's in Jacksonville. So I don't know if I've ever said that before. You know, Fred Taylor's, I love that guy. He's a good ball player. But Shenault, I loved him coming out. And again, if you listened to the show last year, he was a guy I was very, very high on. He's like the Predator, man. He's built to just compete and battle. So, you know, I have confidence that Urban Meyer can game plan him the football. You know, he knows how to get guys like him. You know, I see them trying to put ETN in the wide receiver position. That does worry me a little bit because Shenault should be in that role. And I do think Shenault is more dynamic than Travis Etienne. I do think Shenault outscores Travis Etienne this year. So anybody listening to this, if that's not – I think that's probably groupthink. I probably think most people do think that Shenault is going to outscore Etienne. But if that's not the case, if there's anybody at the Toilets and Titles crew that wants to challenge me bathroom board, I will take that. I think Shenault's the better ball player. But all right, so we got Shenault. Elijah Moore, I like him a lot. Like I said earlier, I do think, you know, it could be Ole Miss wide receivers have just came in and done the damn thing. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and I guess maybe I'm seeing optimistic colored glasses. I don't know if that's a term, but I got optimistic glasses on. The baby, we got a baby on show. Hell yeah. It's a beautiful little baby. So this is the reason why you should be on YouTube. You get to see Mike's out here. He's just being a dad, talking fantasy football. This is great stuff. But the Ole Miss, the Rebels, they got me thinking they just know how to produce wide receivers. And I just expect Elijah Moore to go over 1,000 yards this year. That's another bathroom board bet I will take. Hey, Mike, does the baby got something to say? What's he saying?
Oh, she looked like she was ready to, but then she stopped.
She saw the mic.
She got camera shy.
Yeah.
Now she's going to eat the microphone.
Right, now we got to ask her how she feels about zero running back. Because that's the next topic. We're talking zero running back. Rich, you brought a few of these topics up in the chat this week, and I think it's a good time to talk about that because redraft season is right around the corner. So zero running back strategy. Rich, what are your thoughts on it? We all have the same ADP up right now. Okay, I believe the ADP we're using is Fantasy Pros. We'll go to the overall. So what do you consider zero running back? What is the first round you think you can grab a running back for it to actually be zero running back?
First of all, I don't ever go zero running back. So I'm running back heavy anytime I draft anything. But with that being the case, to me, the true definition of zero running back is they round 5-6 and everything. Now,
so ADP 60, like ADP 60 on, it would be, right?
Yeah, that's where I look at if that was a scenario I was going for. But it's real tough to do that this year and stuff like that. And I for me personally, it's not something that I look at. I just can't. You have to draft running backs.
The first running back after 60 is Miles Gaskin. So if you're going zero running back this year, here's some guys.
That's your RB1.
Ouch. Chase Edmonds, Mike Davis, Ronald Jones, James Conner, Kenyon Drake, Damian Harris, ETN, Singletary, AJ Dillon, Zach Moss, Pollard, Javonte Williams. They have Javonte Williams as running back 44. He's definitely going to climb. So that's I don't think he'll be available. He might, maybe, I feel like he'll pass Myles Gaskin. You know, I feel like he'll go there. Michael Carter, that's interesting. A rookie running back. Trey Sermon. So it seems like you're going to be getting one of these veterans who's got a chance as kind of like a running back two who could swing into some RB1 spots on a week to week, and then a bunch of rookies. So I don't feel really confident about zero running back this season. Mike, what are your thoughts on zero running back?
I'm with Rich on this one. I just can't see a situation where I could go with one of those guys as my RB1 and feel really good about going into the season. I'm more with him as far as that, the whole line of get as many as you can. Worst case scenario, if you have too many to play, you'll be able to trade them for three or four wide receivers if you wait long enough, because people just, that's the one position that just falls very fast. They fall into committees very fast. Just a whole lot of stuff. I can't get past those things with it. You know, like, I just can't do it. But I'd agree with it. About five or six round would be where you would consider that strategy. But I can't do it either. I need to get some dudes going.
And Joseph, who's not on the episode anymore, but he is in the chat, he did mention with Sanders' injury history in Philly, look out for Gainwell. So that's a guy, if you are going zero running back, who should be someone you should definitely pick up. Now, this leads me into a zero wide receiver theory. I'm sure that's a thing. I'm sure I'm not that smart where I'm creating it. But this year and last year as well, wide receivers are falling off trees. Okay? So we talked about the names at running back at ADP 60 and lower, right? If we believe, you know, tier round five is like the cutoff, like, you know what I mean? So if we went running back heavy, quarterback heavy, say this is super flex, so we threw in a tight end, here are the wide receivers you'll be able to get after the fifth round. DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Ayuk, Juju, Chark, Boyd, Sutton, Debo, Devontae Parker, Jamar Chase, Jerry Jeudy, Michael Pittman, Corey Davis, Chenault, Devontae Smith, Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, if you think he's going to break out. Mooney's been a big name. So there's like, if you throw in, all right, so say, I believe, especially in Superflex, you go quarterback early on, or even in quarterback league, quarterback, running back, you get two or three running backs, get a tight end, load up early, and then, man, you just pick clean up at wide receiver. You get two studs, and then you went a little later, get a rookie or a young guy who's going to break out. Wide receivers are falling off trees. I don't think you need to take one, you know, like more than one. You know, you can take that one guy if you want a guy like Adams, McLaurin, Michael Thomas, Jefferson. If you want to get one wide receiver, that's fine. Get a wide receiver, two running backs, a tight end, and then go ahead and fill up at wide receiver a little later on. You don't need that really. What are you guys' thoughts?
Well, here's my – so I'm glad you went that. Okay, so when I draft teams and everything, I'm always looking for players with high upside. But I'm always looking for players that are consistently going to give you 10 points on a weekly games and stuff like that. You're going to get more 10-point receivers that we just listed than running backs that you are at that frame. And that's one reason for my success. When I'm looking at things, I'm looking at that. I want Deontay Johnson and those receivers at that time frame instead of those running backs that you were listing and everything. And it, to me, just like you said, they're falling off trees. You could go so much deeper than that and still find receivers that's going to give you those 10-point games.
Yeah. Mike, you got an opinion on this topic, my guy.
So for me, zero wide receiver is a doable strategy because, like you said, they fall off of trees. You can get a wide receiver. You can get good wide receivers off the waiver wire after your draft that can outproduce some of the guys that you're going to be picking up, you know, like, say, the fifth and sixth round and things like that, you know, the guys that you're panning on hoping for. But by then, man, you can have a pretty good solid backfield, a pretty good solid flex idea position and everything like that, and maybe even start leaning, you know, you might want to even start leaning towards tight end at that position ahead of wide receiver, because you can just get wide receiver, like you said, Cortland Sutton. I am happy with having him as my wide receiver one. Like, yeah, exactly, as my WR1 all day long. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
All right, so that's you know, kind of wide receivers. I didn't put this on the notes, but I do want to talk some tight end ADP because I think it'll make the episode a little more well-rounded. Looking at the ADP here for tight ends, you know, it's clearly, you know, Kelce, Kittle, Waller are the guys. But after that, you know, you got guys like Andrews, Hockenson, Pitts, Henry. Where do you guys believe, let's say, the second tier of tight ends ends? All right, you know, looking at this ADP, because, again, first tier is Kelce, Kittle, Waller. You know, do you feel there's a big group of tier two, or are you comfortable with tier two and tier three? Like, what are your thoughts on the tight end situation? And where do you feel like if you don't get a guy in this, say, you don't get a guy in these three tiers or these two tiers, you're willing to wait till later because you think everybody else is basically the same? Or do you feel like you got to get one of these guys? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, tier two, it probably breaks down around what Tyler Higbee around that area. And for me, I'm looking at. But in tier three, you got some steals in there that you could take advantage of based on how the teams are that you're in the league with are drafting. To me, a great sleeper, Cole Kmet. Okay. You got the new quarterback in there. It slipped my mind for a second, but he's going to feed. I mean, I know Graham's there and everything. But this young tight end showed what he could do at the end of last season and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he has a rookie quarterback coming in that is going to look at him and Graham, and I think they are going to take advantage. He is a huge tight end and stuff like that. Kind of reminds me of Gronk and everything when he came up. And he's going to be taking advantage of them. You know, everybody's talking about Blake Jarwin with injury last year and everything. Another great late in the rounds and stuff like that. But for me, my tier two breaks at 18. Everybody within after Waller and that time, you know, right there, got another good example. He might be someone at the end of the season we're talking about tier one next year.
I like it. I like it.
For me, you know, I like there's guys like TJ Hockenson. I feel like can really, really break away from that tier two group. But for me, once you get past those top three guys, right, you get this critical drop off that I call the 3 for 33, and you get every single tight end after those guys gets you 3 for 33 yards. And we start discussing them when they catch a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, oh man, this guy, he's going to be great because he caught a touchdown. Right. But if you look at a stat line, he got 3 for 33 and a touchdown. So he gave us 10 to 12 points. And that's what we get out of everybody that's outside of that top tier, in my opinion. So if you don't go for one of those top guys right away, heck, you can almost wait all day. Like Blake Jarwin, a lot of people forgot he even exists. And, I mean, you can grab him late. I feel like he's going to be a good one. Hockenson's going up a few radars. He's going his ADP's kind of moving up a little bit.
He's
like
five right now.
Yeah, see, and, I mean, that's appropriate for him. And to me, if I were going to go late, I'd be looking at New England because Bill Belichick grabbed two really, really good tight ends right there. And I don't think he grabbed them so he didn't have to use them. I think that's a good way to develop good young quarterbacks. And I mean, look how he did it with Brady. Here we go again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I see, you know, Evan Ingram at 12, Fant at 13. I'm not ready to give up on Evan Ingram yet. You know, I know like the talent's there. He hasn't really put it together for a full season, but I would take Fant over Ingram. But I like both of them, and I'm going to have a lot of either one or the other. You know, I think in those, their ADP right now is tight end 12, tight end 13. So I think overall like 136 and 140. So I think that's right around where I'm going to be drafting my tight ends. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, I do want to touch real quick on Kyle Pitts. I know we started at the beginning of the episode talking about the Falcons and everything. But look, he's going to have his bright moments, and I think he's going to shine more when they break him from the line and spread him out into the receiver. I think he's going to shine more in those receiver spots, and he's going to, when he's tight end on the line with the tight ends, he's going to have his bright spots there too. But just like I said, he's got some broad shoulders on him and stuff like that, and going to have a lot of pressure. But I think as a tight end and stuff like that, I think he's going to excel when they expand him out into the receiving court. And I would like to see maybe eventually him playing that more full-time than at tight end, because Hayden Hurst, they still got there and everything. And as much as people aren't talking about him, he can shine this year too with the fact that they have Pitts. They're going to focus more on him. And then on top of that, breaking him out, you can see him having some great games too.
Yeah, and they got a lot of targets that are gone that they need to fill up. You know what I mean? And I don't think they're going to fill them all up with Pitts. So I like that. You know, Hurst can benefit as well. So that's a name to know. All right, so to wrap this episode up, I want to talk about quarterbacks here. I teased this a little earlier. So we got our ADP pulled up. Again, we're using Fantasy Pros. Who's your favorite quarterbacks to draft after the top 12 in ADP? So you're going super flex, right? You got or not. Say you're going single quarterback as well. But who's a quarterback you're targeting, quarterback or two, after QB 12 that you're going to have on a lot of your rosters?
Right now, Tua, I know everybody's wanting to see what he's going to do, but he's someone that you can pick up. They're building that offense around him and everything. So he's a great deal. I mean, right here, they got him at 20 and stuff like that too. I actually got him on a lot of my teams and stuff on where I'm drafting him. And I'm going to go back to it every day and stuff like that. Superflex. Look, I know everybody goes heavy on Superflex at the beginning, and I don't. For some reason, it's just one of the things I don't do. And I end up picking up a Derek Carr later on in the game because they are going to be scoring some high points. And even though some people might not think he's consistent, but he does put up some points. He's going to have some low games, but everybody does and everything. But he's going to be someone that I always look at. And, I mean, I'm not being biased or anything like that, right? So, yeah, I mean, I like Daniel Jones, too, and everything. So he got some weapons around him, and he's someone you can pick up later on and might end up producing pretty well this year.
So we got Daniel Jones, we got Tua, we got Derek Carr. Mike, who are your favorite quarterbacks to target after 12? We got somebody. Well, I think it's Justin running the T2T handle right now. He called him Bua, Justin. That's not cool. Rich has been getting enough hate this episode, all right? Stop pouring it on. All right, let the kid breathe. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm not a big fan of second-year quarterbacks, so that's – I do fade Tua, but boy, lights out. Get him on your dynasty rosters now. Because he will never be cheap again after this year, I think. But Daniel Jones is a really, really good one. He's got Kenny Golladay now. To me, that's going to help things out. If Saquon Barkley can stay on the football field for more than three plays, that's really going to help him out. Oddly enough, Derek Carr has a good passing volume. Drew Lock also has good passing volume. These are guys, Jared Goff might have really good passing volume. So when we're looking at guys who are going to have the ball a lot, that's what you're kind of looking for if you're looking for a later tier quarterback. And I believe Baker Mayfield is out of the top 12, correct?
Yes, Baker Mayfield's 21. Jared Goff is 28. Daniel Jones is 27. Derek Carr is 23. Tua is 20. So these are all quarterbacks from 20 and on that you guys have discussed.
See, and I really, really like Baker Mayfield this year. That's why I was saying about where I had the other guys' ADP, so like where Tannehill's is going to stay pretty even, is because there's so many good dynamic quarterbacks that you just have to put above these guys. Right. That's why Baker Mayfield's so low. I mean, the guy's going to be solid next year. If you don't follow what he's been doing year after year in his career, he just keeps improving. That's a guy that has a pretty decent football IQ that can get up there, decide to change a play mid-go, and just go. Yeah, Wentz is another one. Gosh, there's so many.
Justin didn't throw names out, not even giving me an opportunity to talk. I had to tell him to slow down. He's naming all these guys. So, yes, Cousins is out of the top 12. He's not a guy I was going to take. He's ADP 17. But Carson Wentz is at 22. If he's my quarterback. Yeah. So now I am a guy, Rich. You said you're not a guy who goes quarterback heavy early on. I would love Wentz to be my three. Wentz is my quarterback three. That gives me, if he breaks out like I expect him to, that gives me trade bait. There's going to be a guy who didn't go quarterback heavy, playing in a super flex league. One of his quarterbacks is going to get hurt or starts to stink, and now he's hurting. He wants to make the playoffs. He wants to contend. He needs to get a quarterback. If I got Wentz as my three, I can afford to ship my two or my one and get a king's ransom for myself to go on and win a championship. But Mike, I kind of cut you off because Justin was going on there. So continue on.
I actually strayed to his point too. I'm like, Wentz, that's your poor man's Josh Allen right there. So get me that guy all day long at 22. Like, yes. I think that now again, I don't believe Tannehill finishes 12. I don't think Baker Mayfield finishes 21. I think these are two top 10, top 12 guys that we're talking about here. So, yeah, give them to me late. I feel like quarterback's another one of those positions, kind of like wide receiver anymore.
Man, so you guys
– real quick, based off of what he said, Coach, real quick.
Yeah.
Who do you think – I'm going to throw a question out to you guys. As a quarterback, who do you think has the biggest rise from beginning ADP to end of ADP at the end of the season?
So I am going to say the guy that I was just going to mention, That's Trey Lance. Trey Lance is quarterback 24, baby. He's gonna go. He's gonna be top 12. All right. So I'm sorry. Your question is ADP. I apologize. I don't think he's gonna rise ADP wise. I think he's gonna rise as far as production goes. So if he's slotted in at quarterback 24, I think he's gonna actually finish the season top 12. But whose ADP is going to rise the most? I guess.
I apologize. Let me restate this real quick. Based off of ADP and based off end in season, who do you think will have the biggest rise? Where that, then that's where you're going with Trey Lance.
I think Lance or Wilson, because I think also Wilson, maybe more so than Lance. Wilson doesn't have any competition at quarterback. I think there's going to be a lot of buzz. He's quarterback 31, so it's not going to be, even if he just jumps into the top 20. That's an 11 slot jump. So let me say Zach Wilson, because there's no competition there. He could run the football. He could do it with his legs, and there's value there.
Yeah, for me, and this is another one that you get late, it's Sam Darnold and stuff. Everybody's throwing him off and everything. And yeah, he has probably one of the best supporting cast around him going into this season and everything. He's at 32 right now. I can see him being in the top 15. Okay, not top 10, but top 15. And that's a huge jump.
Well, they're going to actually maybe start giving Darnold the respect he deserves. That is, like, so there's a thing I've always had called the Gase taint, that it's really hard to get off you. So if he does bad even this year, it wouldn't shock me, but I do like his future there. Guy, you're right. He's got such a damn good supporting cast. But again, Gase taint, it's worse than mono, right? And we all saw what mono did.
The Gase taint?
The Gase taint, yes. It gets all over the player. It gets in their head. They're like, I can't win. I don't want to win. I want my team to get the first draft pick.
I think taint is a word that has more than one definition.
It does. Yes, yes. And both actually have the same meaning in this case with what it does to you. Because you also have an odor about you with the Gase taint. People don't even go near you in the locker room, man. It's going to be a tough first year for Darnold.
That's something that fits in, man. It fits in with Toys of Titles. It's on brand. And when we are learning to do drops and cuts and stuff, we Justin, mark that down. 53 minutes in, maybe 52 and a half. Let's cut Gase taint and let's save that for any player who plays under Gase or has some affiliation to Gase in the future. We could just drop that Gase taint. I like that. Guys, we had a lot of fun. We touched on a lot of topics. And I think there's a lot of stuff in here for people to digest as we break into the rest of the offseason. I think there's going to be a little bit of a lull now that training camps are wrapping up. And I know teams kind of go away until about July when they start meeting up and have full camps with equipment and whatnot. But I do want to let everybody know, let's go get flushed. Hashtag get flushed. All right. Justin dropped that in there. That's a big one. So get flushed. I want to let everybody know that this episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Fellas, do you have any final thoughts you would like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I'm going to say have a great weekend. And just get prepped for a hot summer.
Hot boy summer, baby.
That's right. Yeah, keep your eye out on all our content. We're going to just keep laying it down. There's going to be more and more bathroom breaks as we get towards the season. And make sure you get on there, give us a 5-star review, hit like and subscribe. Help us out, guys. Also, join our Patreon.
Yes, yes, there it is.
My daughter is crying because you haven't joined our Patreon. Did you guys hear her? Did you guys hear her? That's right. Join our Patreon.
We don't want his daughter crying. All right, so go on there. Join the Patreon. We got three levels, $3, $5, $10, and the description's in there. It's patreon.com/toysofthetitles. Everybody from the show, you can follow them on the Twitter. I'm at Coach Sheps, at Coach S-C-H-E-P-P-S. We also have Mike D at Dirty Jobs 21. Rich is at R Gonzalez RM. Joe, who's not here currently, is at Joe J Clark, and the show is at Toilets 2 Titles. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, throw us a 5-star review. Help us out. We appreciate you. Have a good week and take care.